Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Boeing has detailed plans to federal regulators to fix problems related to its jetliners and manufacturing. FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker says the plans both short-term and long-term.
The quality management system has to be robust. The training of employees has to be sufficient. And this plan is comprehensive. It takes on all those aspects. And we're just going to monitor the implementation to make sure it's effective.
Boeing was forced to address issues after missing bolts led to a door plug falling out mid-flight in January. Chief Justice John Roberts has declined to meet with Democratic senators to discuss the Supreme Court's ethical practices. That after Justice Samuel Alito's refusal to recuse himself from January 6 cases for flags linked to Stop the Steal movement flown outside his homes. In New York, jury deliberations continuing in the hush money criminal trial of Donald Trump. He's accused of falsifying business records ahead of the 2016 election. This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State education officials are threatening to suspend funding to Wisconsin's biggest school district. Milwaukee officials were supposed to turn over important financial reports 8 months ago. The Department of Public Instruction says Milwaukee school officials have to submit an action plan to avoid having funds cut off. The Madison judge presiding over the latest Act 10 court case appears to have signed a recall petition against then-Governor Scott Walker. Governor Evers says Jacob Frost should not recuse himself.
Oh, I don't think so. Recusal is kind of a death knell of judiciary. Let's just let it play out.
Judge Frost could rule to restore union rights that many Wisconsin public workers lost in 2011. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Chicago man was arrested in Ashland County last week in a massive fentanyl bust. According to the Ashland County Sheriff's Office, 56-year-old Charles Mathis was arrested and found to be in possession of over 100 grams of fentanyl with an estimated street value of $50,000. He was taken into custody near the Bad River Casino in the township of Sanborn and is now at the Ashland County Jail on a $50,000 bond. The Ashland Sheriff's Office was assisted by the Bayfield County Sheriff's Office. As warmer weather begins to spread throughout the area, Northland wildlife officials are reminding residents not to interact with deer that wander into their yards. According to a Northern News Now report, interacting with deer in your yard could leave the deer with your scent, which could attract predators when it leaves. If residents do see a deer in their yard that appears to be injured, they should watch it from a distance and contact a rehabilitation center to determine the correct steps to take next. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers OTAs continue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers had a lively practice outdoors with 11-on-11 in helmets and shorts. There is a proposal from the Players Union to cancel all off-season workouts next year in exchange to reporting for training camp earlier in July. I asked the Packers' new running back, Josh Jacobs, on his reaction.
You do look forward to that time off because in reality, we don't get a lot of time off.
Right.
But, you know, especially for the guys with families, man, you know, you kind of want to spend that time and enjoy that time.
Sure.
At the end of the day, so I think you got to keep the main thing, and, you know, football is the main thing.
Baseball, the Brewers jumping out to a 7-1 lead. They went on to beat the Cubs 10-6. Home runs from Christian Yelich, Willy Adames, and outfielder Blake Perkins.
Yeah, it was great. Joey set the tone, and then Yelly came up huge for us and just really let everybody know that, hey, guys, we can get on this guy. I'm just proud of our guys, the way they came out.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Abundant sunshine and seasonal today, with high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s, alongside a calm wind. The only downfall is scattered showers and thunderstorms push in by early tomorrow morning and dampen our Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates radio show. The jury is still out. Will it be a quick conviction? Dom's hoping. Or an agonizing deliberation? I'm hoping.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a nice show planned out for everybody today, Brian. Very excited. And as we were sharing yesterday, we're starting a very special series of segments on my show this coming Monday called Biden's Top 100. We'll dive deep into a particular policy each week based on a theme and explain what Joe Biden has done for you. In various policy areas. We're going to start out with the economy. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, let us know how you think a particular policy has impacted your family. 608-688-9088. You can leave us a voicemail there. If you want to answer our question about what do you think makes a tax system fair? How should we structure a tax system? You can go and provide that feedback at civic.audio/taxes. But, Brian, that is not the only thing that's starting on Monday.
Uh-oh.
There's more.
There's more?
There's more.
There's always more, everyone. There's always more.
There's always more. We are starting across the network the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. That is going to kick off next Monday, June 3rd, with Pat Kreitlow's Up North News, 7 a.m., bright and early. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's delicious.
What could you win? Lots of cool stuff. There's going to be Wisconsin Dells prize packages, Brewers club level tickets. There's also a very special Scani Summer Staycation.
Oh?
Oh, yes. I like a good staycation.
I love that. I love that for everyone. I love that. Honestly, I'll take the Brewers tickets. I'll take the... I'll take the
D, all of the above.
Yeah, all of it. I know the people who are putting it together. And it's a really good package. It's really good. You want to win this. So make sure you pay attention. Listen to your Civic Media app.
Absolutely. And to win this and to register to win, you're going to need the Civic Media app. So go ahead and go get that from your favorite app store. It is, of course, free. I love it. Our listeners, Brian, you folks out there, you know I love the Brew Crew. Unfortunately, I got to work with this Flatlander over here that likes the Cubs. Listen, Brian, you can't be perfect.
I chose the Cubs, too. I'm just letting you know I chose the Cubs. But also, I was...
Your judgment's so suspect.
I hated baseball. I was converted while watching the Cubs, so that's nothing's worse than a convert.
We should spend, you know, discovering a love of baseball is like watching someone taste a really good wine for the first time. All of a sudden, an entire world, a universe opens up.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's I can see the religious aspect to it.
Oh, yes.
Baseball, you know, baseball parks are churches, you know.
They are churches.
Watching my dad, who grew up watching Mickey Mantle at Yankee Stadium,
Watching him walk into Wrigley Field for the first time, because they got really good seats. They had just made, they just missed the playoffs again. They got really good seats. Got to watch Mark Pryor strike out like 14 and then get the game blown in the end. But anyway.
Baseball.
But watching him come up to see the green field, and he looked like a 12-year-old again.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Yes. Our regular listener and good friend Greg in Waukesha letting us know that the Brewers are leading the Cubs 4-2-3 in the seventh. And yes, Greg, Brian Kelly's great at many, many, many things, but choosing baseball teams to root for is not one of them. Yes, he is a Cubs fan. We will critique him mightily and frequently on this show for such a lapse in judgment.
I could probably beat most of you in a Brewers trivia contest over the last 10, 15 years or so.
Probably. Not many people are good at factoid retention. That's a special skill.
But I also was watching them, too. I was, you know, watching from afar going, I wish I had CeCe Sabathia.
But I have a signed baseball from CeCe Sabathia. That's how much of a nerd I am.
He's a good
dude. Then we
lost
him to who? The Yankees.
Well, everybody loses everyone to the Yankees.
Yes. Small market teams just cannot keep up with the payroll of the big TV network teams.
Yes, they can. They just don't.
Stop.
They absolutely can. There's no reason. Yes, they can.
We were not planning to talk about it. No, they cannot,
Brian.
Yes, they
can.
No.
Yes, they can.
No. Do you know what fractionally, what the Brewers' entire payroll is as it stacks up to the Cubs, St. Louis, and the Yankees? All right.
Yeah, very small.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nothing compared to what Oakland has done to themselves and the other teams.
Well, this is not to say that people spend money really stupidly or that teams on occasion can moneyball their way into postseasons. It's not to say that.
The people who own these teams are multi-billionaires.
We've now morphed into the discussion, which is basically the same discussion as to why does the public pay for stadiums and arenas?
They don't. They shouldn't. They do, but they shouldn't. Okay, go somewhere else. Have some other suckers pay for your stuff. You billionaire.
Limited supply, Brian. When there is a limited supply of a highly desired good, often the one selling such highly desired good, here baseball skill, talent, and the team itself, often sets the terms of the deal. Basic microeconomics, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that you're a billionaire. The only people stopping you from having a good team is you.
I don't disagree, but that's not the way that the baseball economy works, nor any of the large three biggest professional sports. We haven't even gotten into racing, which is its own money pit.
Yes, it is.
I do not understand. Just turn left for 3 hours. I'll watch.
No, I mean, that whole thing has a whole subtlety to it and things that enough that, okay, I can see, not my thing, but I can see someone getting super into it. Obviously they do, but
yes.
But it doesn't matter. It's all gonna be sports gambling in a minute anyway.
Yeah. Give it 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Sportsbook is open at Civic Media sponsor, Pottawatomie Bingo and Casino.
That's true.
Sportsbook.
They're putting sportsbooks in almost every single new stadium. In fact, Wrigley Field
is gonna put up sportsbook.
Already does.
Wow.
Already has one of the largest sportsbooks.
Pete Rose must be really mad.
He also is a bad dude. He's just, by all accounts, a bad dude, and also bet on baseball while he was
again
doing
a complete
it.
Tangent. We did not plan on talking about this. No. Let's just if being a good person were a precondition to the entry of anyone into any professional sports Hall of Fame, exactly. And about 3/4 of them would be booted out immediately.
Absolutely.
It's like if
I'm just saying. Let's not. I'm not shedding tears
for Pete
Rose. I'm not
romanticizing Pete Rose. Yeah, I'm just saying, as an emblem, as a symbol of sports gambling and all of the... To me, Pete Rose, what he did, bad. What the NBA referees did in that scandal, worse.
I stopped watching the NBA because of the... LA Sacramento.
I swore off for many, many years myself.
Kobe went down and full-on elbowed Mike Bibby while he stood there. And Mike Bibby was charged with a foul while he was bleeding on the sideline.
Like, roll the tape? What?
How many free throws did the Lakers have?
Oh, my gosh.
But so going back to baseball real quick in record books and Hall of Fame.
Please.
They just I think yesterday, added in the Negro League stats
I was so excited to see professional baseball. Finally, there some of baseball's best superstars, most accomplished players came from the Negro Leagues. I actually meant to talk about that. So thank you so much for reminding me, Brian. If you're not familiar, Major League Baseball announced, I believe yesterday or the day before, it might have been Monday, Tuesday-ish, that all Negro League players, all of their statistics would now be considered on par with and be considered in Major League Baseball's record books without any asterisks. To me, only seems appropriate given that, you know, the last 25 years of Major League Baseball has been dominated basically by steroid scandals and PED scandals. Again, some of the Negro League's best players put up stats that would not have been touched by the regular major league players for decades.
Yeah, and if you ever are worried about the competence levels or like the playing field between the two, it's pretty much the same.
Yes,
Did you know how good Jackie Robinson had to be to even be considered? He had to be so good, stupid not to put him in.
Yes,
there.
Jackie Robinson is to baseball what Barack Obama is to politics.
Uh-huh.
Is that a good...
Ish, yeah. I mean, he broke a barrier and everyone said, well, now racism is over the dude is getting pummeled with, like, everything...
Oh, spit, racial slurs, getting food thrown at him.
But the important thing is that the talent level was pretty much par across the field because...
Oh, I've heard baseball fanatics argue that the talent pool in the Negro Leagues was actually at a higher level of performance.
I would not be surprised.
Than was in their contemporary MLB.
Because as you know, you gotta double up and triple up how good you are and have to be perfect almost every single time, or else they will tear you down and destroy you and shut down your entire league. Mm-hmm. Unless they make money off it, then you're absolutely fine. But it's awesome because now you get to compare people across time and how good they were during that time. And you have a new, you have a new on base leader. You have a new, a couple different stats have moved and a bunch of people like got boosts in their stats from being half
their career in the Negro League.
Well, Ichiro was gone. Like Ichiro only spent 10 years or so in the major leagues, but he had a whole career in Japan beforehand. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he had started here. That's the type of idea, but I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool. And,
Absolutely awesome. My dad's, again, a great one to watch baseball games with because he'll often spout off on, you know, there's a statistic that they should actually keep, and it would be this. And one of my favorite particular statistic is he calls it batter pitch selection.
Okay.
And you would know if a count's 3-1, this is what you should be. These are the only pitches, like in this section of the zone. This is it. Like it has to be sweet spot, fat down the middle. If you're 0-2, the zone widens. And so is that batter swinging at the pitches that they actually should be? What is that the batter's quality of pitch selection for swinging? I think that's a brilliant stat.
Yeah, they are. They're doing not only that, but the angle of swing.
Oh, yeah.
The rate of your swing, exactly where you should be doing. And there's a big fight between getting, you know, what is in your head and what's actually real.
Yeah. Yes. Well, in all of sports, they say swinging and hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do. You have to have the fastest reaction time. Brian and I will actually talk about some politics after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to a special baseball introduction here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with actual politics and stuff in a moment. Hey, I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give.
It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, June 3rd at 7 a.m. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. With me in the booth is Brian Kelly. You want to join our conversation, our debates about the finer points of baseball statistics and whatever other political things we'll get to today. Of course, you are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Got to give you a game update. It's now tied 4-4, Cubs Brewers bottom of the eighth. There's a bit of an injury delay. It's not Yelich. He's up to bat. It is the count's 1-0. Not a single out on the board. So Brewers got six outs to put one up on the board and take the Cubs out in a four-game series here. Should be fun. Beautiful day to watch baseball.
My Uncle Stu's out there. Say hi. I'd say hi to Uncle Stu, but he's not listening.
Eh, shame, Stu. Shame. So right before, I always do a little headline check right before we come on the air. Good to see what's popping, not just relying on my news updates on the phone. And just about an hour and a half ago, a headline popped that absolutely scared the bejiggers out of me. Not because I didn't assume this was happening anyways, but because the company actually said, oh, yeah, this is a problem. We're working on it, but we're not sure how well we're going to be able to do to prevent this problem. OpenAI, which is one of the leaders in the artificial intelligence, especially large language model systems, software, applications, etc. And large language models, it's you talking to a smart speaker and saying, Alexa, play WAUK, which you can do, and you'll hear your local Civic Media affiliate. That's a large language model-based piece of artificial intelligence, your little speaker thingy. That's AI.
Most of that has bugs worked out of it.
Yes.
But there were times when somebody
was having
a conversation in the other room, and next thing they know, they ordered 40 cords of lumber.
It was very, listen, I had my, like the first gen Alexa devices sometimes whispered to me. So like weird, hello, Maggie, the temperature is. It was very strange. But large language models, this is ChatGPT type stuff where you can speak in sort of normal context with the odd syntax and language usage that we all use as normal human beings. And it'll spit back out information and such to you. But OpenAI came out today, Thursday, and said that it has identified and caught groups from Russia, China, Iran, and Israel using OpenAI technology to try to influence political discourse. Now, we all knew that these actors were doing this. Yep.
Water is wet?
Water is wet. Artificial intelligence will be used to manipulate you in election seasons. Shocking, I know. But the fact that OpenAI came out and actually talked about it publicly, I was quite surprised.
That's actually very, very good.
It is. We want companies to do this. OpenAI apparently removed accounts associated with well-known propaganda operations in Russia, China, and Iran, an Israeli campaign firm, and a previously unknown group originating in Russia that the company's researchers dubbed, quote, bad grammar. The groups respectively used OpenAI's tech to write posts, translate them into various languages, and build software that helped them automatically post to social media. And of course, the algorithms that are then used by social media companies to try to bump up content based on engagement can then be manipulated. So it has this domino effect. You're using AI to basically create ghost posts, ghost comments to other posts that drives engagement that then manipulates the algorithms that social media companies are using. And you effectively suck eyeballs into this robot created content. And what pray tell might you think Russia, what do you think, Brian, they might want Americans to become convinced of at this moment?
How horrible it would be if we gave any money to Ukraine.
Yes, that would be bad. And that's the kind of thing that they'll, and of course, it doesn't help that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, people like Ron Johnson, they're out there trumpeting all these Russian propagandist, pro-Putin, pro-authoritarian, pro-dictator talking points. And then their misinformation machine, their propaganda machines in Russia, using OpenAI, which is a U.S.-based company, the technology developed and shared largely for free to the public. Russia's then using that to pump our social media networks full of garbage, robot-generated garbage, which then Marjorie Taylor Greene reposts, also the MAGA president, now, former president.
You can say, oh, well, I'll just not watch a whole bunch of propaganda and I'll stay, you know, off my phones and everything like that. Well, let me tell you a little thing here. I want you to go and look up an article, everybody. It's called There's Something Wrong with the Internet. And it's basically OpenAI type of thing. What happens is people do things like, let's take something innocuous, like Peppa Pig. We like Peppa Pig,
yeah,
right?
I'm pro Peppa Pig.
Yeah, I'm pro Peppa Pig too. So Peppa Pig gets disseminated, right, by other people and like me who like to make funny videos with Peppa Pig. Oh, isn't it funny if Peppa Pig meets a knight and gets her head cut off and there's some blood and everything like that. Meant to be funny for adults, nothing like that. However, in my tag, I may have a Peppa Pig there or something like that. Well, what happens is the machine that makes, we want clicks. We want clicks so much all the time. And you know who clicks a lot?
Kids.
Your kids.
Yeah,
so your kids are going to keep clicking on these now approved Peppa Pig cartoons and whatnot.
And you're going to see your violent Peppa Pig content, Brian.
But not directly. What it will do is the bots out in Russia, out in China, and things like that just generate to go and repopulate. So it's the same clip, but just a little bit different. So you click on that too, is just trying to get someone to click. But next thing you know, your kid's crying because Peppa Pig is dying and screaming at them in some sort of evil language.
But that happens to you with respect to your political beliefs. You can't not see, I guarantee you, some content you look at today is likely going to be AI generated. Certainly the ads are that you're seeing, the pop-up ads. And it doesn't matter what platform you use.
That doesn't mean that the entire thing is evil in and of itself.
Correct. It just
you
means
you have to be aware of how it's used.
That's correct. And it also means you have to go past, you know, well, my friend said that this person said, and you have to check your sources. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I want to share after a couple of brief messages what OpenAI's representative, what their spokesperson said about this. We'll talk specifically about a couple of these groups from these different countries. And I want to hear what you think about all this. I mean, yeah, I expected it. I didn't expect the artificial intelligence companies to start telling us about it. So that's a pro. Hey, good on you, OpenAI. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll talk about that a little bit, and then I got to talk about the persnickety, the prickly, the painfully slow, and the nearly half the time totally wrong Judge Aileen Cannon. All that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, being produced by the fabulous Brian Kelly here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Since the 1980s, Wisconsin has always encouraged youth to get trained on operating farm equipment. Is that still appropriate today? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. One of our state farm safety specialists says, with the size of equipment we've got today, Wisconsin should rethink the age guidelines for youth that can operate it. More on the way.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Youth in Wisconsin as young as 12 and 13 years of age can indeed legally operate farm equipment on roadways so long as they've received 24 hours of education. John Schutzke, farm safety specialist in Wisconsin, says it's probably time to rethink that.
We've done about four recent years worth of farm fatality investigation. We are still the state's most dangerous occupation. We have about 30 to 40 people who die as a result of farm work-related activities and tasks. A lot of those are public highway, and a lot of them are kids. A lot of the farm fatalities generally are kids. So I think that it's time that we really take a look at this and make sure that we're doing the right thing for kids, for their families, and also the people that are responsible for training these kids, because it's a liability issue.
John Schutzke, he's a farm safety specialist with University Extension in Wisconsin. He said he's just starting this conversation now about rethinking Wisconsin's guidelines on how young youth can be when they operate that farm equipment. He said he hopes every parent or guardian slows down to think about the responsibilities they're giving to those young people, training or not, when it comes to operating farm equipment.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And Wisconsin Department of Agriculture has circulated a survey to all licensed dairy operators in the state about 30 different questions they want you to answer, including things like your business structure, labor, and succession planning. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski says, please return the survey completed. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Abundant sunshine and seasonal today, with high temperatures climbing to the mid-70s, alongside a calm wind. The only downfall is scattered showers and thunderstorms push in by early tomorrow morning and dampen our Friday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 72.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the MaxSync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, my good friend Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We will be joined by Dr. Lehrman to discuss the mental health crisis in the United States.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
One.
talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy. Out of my mind, out of my mind. Wrote it down, I read it out.
The number of runs the Brewers need to beat the Cubs this afternoon. One.
Funny, that's exactly the amount of runs the Cubs need to beat the Brewers.
I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Baseball update, fans. It is 4-4, bottom of the eighth. There are two men on for the Crew. Zero outs. They should be able to punch one through. Knock on wood, everybody. The OpenAI problem and the sort of exponentially more power, it just makes bad actors so much more capable of doing really, really bad things, right? Like that we know, and maybe I'll spend a whole show sometime soon, or maybe not the whole show because we're doing Biden's top 100 starting Monday. Refreshing our collective recollections about Cambridge Analytica. But if you recall that, or any of these scandals, any of these, what do you call, public misinformation machines, AI just turbocharges that. So the good news here, again, was OpenAI came out, said this happened. Ben Nimmo, the principal investigator on OpenAI's intelligence and investigations team said that none of the groups from Russia, China, Iran, and Israel managed to get many followers, but the volume of text that these actors were able to generate and the lack of errors in the text, they said, was pretty alarming. The specific examples or the specific bad actor users was a group called Spamouflage, a previously known group originating in China, not to be confused with the Broadway musical Spamalot. No, this is Spamouflage. That group used OpenAI's tech to write posts in Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and English. The Iranian group, known as the International Union of Virtual Media, they used OpenAI to create articles. Bad Grammar, this was the previously unknown group out of Russia, used OpenAI to help make a program that would automatically post on the messaging app Telegram. And just like Brian Kelly told you, what was their main focus? Posting both in Russia and English, arguing that the U.S. should not be supporting Ukraine. The Israeli political campaign firm called Stoic also used OpenAI to generate pro-Israel posts about the Gaza war and targeted them specifically at people in Canada, the U.S., and Israel. So here's where we are. The scariest thing is you think about sort of the deepfake plus, you know, any AI's ability to generate content, and you bring those two things together. Again, if you've not heard the term deepfake, it is what it sounds like. It would be, if you're watching me on YouTube or X or
folks,
Facebook, right?
Your best bet is to go and watch Arnold Schwarzenegger deepfakes.
Oh, scary.
They are the best and also the scariest.
Yes.
Because you got Arnold Schwarzenegger singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
And it sounds like him.
Sounds just like him.
Yeah, it would be like as if you... Many AI experts, it's not all of them, but many AI experts believe we're going to get to a point with deepfakes where you can't tell if it's real or not. And so, again, if you've got AI that's generating content, that's putting words in political actors or other influencers' mouths, and the AI itself, the robot, can then not just create the content, but knows where to post it, when to post it, to try to maximize and leverage the algorithms to manipulate your mind, it makes our responsibilities as information consumers, we have to become much more sophisticated, much more evolved consumers of information.
You know what saved us? You know what has saved us? That now that I, like the way that they have talked about it, what stopped them was bad grammar and things like that.
Yes.
The complexity of the English language is keeping us actually somewhat relatively informed.
You're not wrong, Brian. I speak wonderfully accented but grammatically horrifying French, and I can sometimes read a little Spanish and understand what it means. almost all Latin-based languages that I've experienced so much easier grammatically to put it together. English is nearly infinitely complicated. There's a million different ways to say exactly the same thing. It can be, now this is not to say that other language other languages don't have complexity. Of course they do. But if you, it's like the fourth verb tense in French and Italian, which is like the ancient past. Well, so what? It's another verb tense. I mean, you work in passive voice, all the different syntactical constructions in English. It has helped us, I think, withstand a little bit of the AI revolution, but that time is coming to an end. Little game update, Brian. So sorry to say. Top of the ninth, Brewers up 6-4. So long.
Yeah, it's all over. Farewell. Now. I'm just going to give up now. You've converted me with all of your, now I'm just a Brewers fan.
Perfect. You heard it here. Brian Kelly, Brewers fan extraordinaire.
I already was okay with him, but it's fine. Totally fine.
Let's talk about Judge Aileen Cannon. Really interesting article that came out in the New York Times. This was, I think, came out yesterday. And they go through a series of her rulings. Now, she doesn't do hearings in court frequently. And I'm talking about specifically in the Trump national secrets case. This is the one out of Florida. There's only been 7 public hearings on motions in 10 months. That's how slow she's moving.
Lots of paperwork.
Lots and lots of paperwork. But what has emerged is a woman who is extremely ill-confident and very thin-skinned. You know what I want in a judge? Low self-confidence and very quick to anger, highly defensive about their capabilities. That sounds like someone who'll be a good jurist.
Very even-tempered.
Yes. So when Jack Smith had asked a few months back, this was in December, hey, can you move this case along? We're concerned about the pace. She kind of lost it. She said to him, I can assure you that in the background, there is a great deal of judicial work going on. So while it may not appear on the surface that anything is happening, there's a ton of work being done. I can't tell you how weird this is. I worked for a federal appeals court judge. I've been in and out of federal court my entire career, going now surprisingly and embarrassingly, and oh my God, I'm in middle age, over 20 years of lawyering. Judges don't act like this. This is just, generally speaking, the temperament of judges on the federal bench, these are the Article III judges appointed for a lifetime, is counsel, sit down. No, your request is denied. Moving on. It's just defensiveness from a judge that sits there for the rest of their life just isn't a thing because they needn't be defensive. The fact that this woman is, I think, speaks to the larger problem here, which is she may very well not be competent. Now, the other thing that bothers me and that this article gets into, which is really interesting, is that she often, in her written rulings, doesn't really explain in a lot of detail her thinking, like her method of analysis. There's very little that gives anyone that's observing or reading these rulings any idea about sort of her legal philosophy or what her sort of legal influences are. This is very, again, this is very strange. And she's ground this case basically to a complete stop by granting hearings, which, again, she's only had 7 in open court in 10 months. She grants hearings for everything. I mean, if Donald Trump's lawyers could, they would file a motion to be we'd like a bio break the next hearing at this time, and we'd like argument on our hearing about the bathroom break. But before that, we'd like a bath. I mean, everything that they ask for, she gives them a hearing. This indicates a judge that doesn't know what they're doing. Parties file, and listen, I've worked on billion-plus-dollar cases in federal court of nearly infinite complexity. I worked on Enron. The judge did not grant hearings on every motion that was filed. There were some motions that the judge could look at and say, well, this is stupid, or this is poorly, this doesn't have a basis in the law, or I've read the law and I will just deny it. And so generally, hearings are reserved for issues of some complexity where the judge actually has questions that get beyond the written argument. The briefs go beyond the briefs. What's interesting about Judge Aileen Cannon is that there are a few instances where you read the transcript and you've read the briefs and you think to yourself, does she, where's her reading comprehension at? I mean, they're kind of painfully embarrassing moments. Here's one, okay? Last week, Judge Cannon had one of the prosecutors in a hearing. This guy's name is Jay Bratt. And he was talking about the Pinkerton rule. Okay, Brian, do you know who the Pinkertons are?
Go back. Those are huge fans of Weezer.
Yeah, oh, well, there's that. But if you ever watched, I'm going to forget the name of the HBO show that was set in the Wild West back in the day. The Pinkertons were a private investigator, sometime rent-a-cop, that were engaged by a lot of the railroad magnates and you know, homesteaders, etc. But the Pinkerton Agency was a bunch of kind of mercenary for-hire private investigators back in the day. The Pinkerton rule is this well-known legal theory that any member of a conspiracy can be held accountable for any crime committed by any member of the conspiracy circle, right? Like,
isn't that a cornerstone of like RICO laws and things
yes,
like that?
Yes, okay, cool. Yes. But it's often referred to as the Pinkerton rule. And there's a case. There's the Pinkerton case. That's where the rule gets its name from, which you would think a judge with access to Google or any other internet search engine would know. So the prosecutor, Bratt, is talking with Cannon, and he refers to the Pinkerton rule, and he says the rule would apply to Donald Trump's dealing with his co-defendants in the documents case, Wolf Nauta and Carlos de Oliveira. And the judge was perplexed by this somehow. And she asks the attorney, well, what authority are you relying on for this rule that any member of a conspiracy is responsible for any crime committed amongst the co-conspirators? And he was talking about it as the Pinkerton rule, and he looks at her, well, I wasn't there. But he sort of sheepishly had to say, well, the authority for the Pinkerton rule is the Pinkerton case, and then explained it to her. Like,
so she's basically, unless she's Leslie Nielsen and she happens to be a cop that has to somehow be, you know, the, like, run the, you know, the national anthem or something, and she doesn't know the words, but that's weird.
Very weird. And she gets even things that have nothing to do with the law, per se, wrong. This is another moment from last week's hearing. I'll get to it after a couple of quick important messages. Reading and listening comprehension, perhaps not one of Judge Aileen Cannon's top 10 skills, which is a little scary considering she's a judge.
You know, I have a mind that might be able to get around, you know, passing the bar and that type of thing. You know what stopped me more than anything from, you know, actually even getting into a whole lot of fights is paperwork.
Paperwork.
And I know that being a judge and doing lawyer stuff is
paperwork. Reading and writing and understanding things and then writing more about them.
Feels like it's the job.
One would think. Except if your name's Aileen Cannon. Huh. I'll finish the afternoon's takedown of Judge Aileen Cannon. I do this every couple of weeks because she just keeps giving us gifts out of the Southern District of Florida. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You got a comment or question, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
The defense is wrong.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin, you don't have to pretend you're high. The Brewers won. Game's over.
Excellent.
I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been talking about Judge Eileen Cannon. All joking aside, some of the exchanges, some of her decisions are frankly downright frightening. The woman, I don't think, has any clue about how to judge, let alone how to be a judge in the most important criminal case, one of the most important criminal cases this country has seen in the last decade. You know, I've criticized the voter manipulation case happening in New York State Court. We know the Supreme Court's going to drag its feet and screw up as much as possible and declare that presidents are kings for some purposes. So the January 6th case against Donald Trump, that's not going anywhere. This is the case that matters the most to me, that I think is the most clear cut, that shows in the most straightforward way the real threat that Donald Trump poses to each and every one of you and your families. From a national defense perspective, from a judgment perspective, from a I'll follow the rules perspective. And we've got a judge that doesn't know how to judge. Seems to have reading comprehension problems. Seems to have listening comprehension problems. So this is also in the hearing last week, as reported by the New York Times. This is a defendant's lawyer. The guy's name is Stanley Woodward. Now, this is one of those things that should have never get a hearing. He's basically asked for the right to seek discovery from the entirety of the executive branch of government.
Oh.
I would like all of the emails from the entire executive branch of government and their text messages.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? I'd say, since you can't read it all and you can't have that many interns are going to disseminate, let's put it in AI and have it disseminated by the AI.
Yeah, it'll just distill it down for us. I'm sure.
So it's easier to read.
Yeah, it'll get all of it right. Huh. So this is Stanley Woodward and the judge going back and forth about this discovery request. He basically is claiming without any offer of proof, which is a technical legal term that says, oh, here is some factual basis that like what I think might be happening might actually be happening. Basically that he got blackballed from potential judgeship. Now, listen, the response from everyone that has ever worked in any kind of judicial selection capacity would be like, yes, no kidding. You're representing one of the defendants in the documents case. Like, no one from the Biden administration is going to be appointing you judge. Stop it. Stupid. And there's a deliberative privilege amongst government actors. We can talk about certain things, et cetera, et cetera. So he's seeking documents, emails, text messages, and other communications that includes his name. Any messages exchanged by prosecutors that mentioned his name. Now, of course, prosecutors in this very case would be talking about defense counsel. It's like, that's not legitimate. This is an easy, like, you don't need to have a hearing, judge. You just no, motion denied. But she asked Mr. Woodward what he wanted, and it was in the motion. And he answers, I would like the messages exchanged by prosecutors that mention my name. She asks him again, but can you explain that to me slowly? What about that is not clear? And then he does it a second time. She still seems confused, and she goes, all right, so I understand your request. It's, quote, all documents, communications, and text messages concerning Mr. Woodward, reading from the document. That took like a 15-minute. This is what I'm talking about, people. Like, there's just no indication that she actually knows how to do this job at all whatsoever.
Like, if you're just sitting there delaying for time, there's so many better ways to do that. But that's just a...
But she's doing it about every... granting hearings on every single motion. She doesn't understand it. It takes forever to get through material with her.
She's learning on the job. That's one of those jobs. You can just figure it out. Just throw into the fire. It's fine.
Well, and then the response... Okay, so the prosecution responds. He explains for basically 5 minutes that there's no... That this entire line of inquiry is not supported by law. It's based on this guy's fantasy. He doesn't get to rummage through the government's private messages. You just don't. It's not relevant to the defense case. Who cares if they don't like you? Cannon misses the point. She asked the prosecutor if he was suggesting that prosecutors did not have any of the messages that Mr. Woodward was seeking. He's like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's not entitled to them. And he's failed to present any evidence that would lead to any indication or any presumption that he would be entitled to them. She responds, so I guess what you're saying is you're not sure if there are any emails that would be responsive to Mr. Woodward's request. And he's got to go back. No. He's not legally entitled to them. And she says, I know you disagree with the factual basis, but would that provide a basis for the discovery request? And he just said, no, it doesn't matter if I agree or disagree with the facts. The facts as alleged or claimed by Mr. Woodward do not give him the basis under the law to obtain these documents. She totally missed the point. And he gets frustrated. And she's like, well, why don't you calm down now?
I don't know what to do with that. What do you do with that?
I would lose my stuff as a lawyer. I have been in front of some judges that needed a little bit more help, like following the bouncing ball through particularly sometimes complex legal questions. Nothing that I just talked about, that was not complex. That is not a difficult or complicated legal issue at all whatsoever.
And you're not signing anything. You're not.
No.
This is just reading. It's not. Let me check mark. Let me fill out a form or something. That's how bad it is. This isn't somebody getting me to fill out my taxes for me because I'm a little bit. I just want to make sure it's all right. This is. Okay.
Do you know what words mean?
Okay, what?
Yes, it's really bad. Anyways, if you want to check out the balance of that article, it's called Emerging Portrait of Judge in Trump Documents Case, Prickly and Slow. Yeah, no kidding. I'd also call incompetent in the New York Times. I'm really excited. I got a special guest joining me, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez. Be hopping on with Brian and I after news, weather, and sports. I've got your sports news. Brewers take another one from the Cubs. Cubs fall to 4.5 behind in a 6-4 afternoon victory this Thursday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a great time to adopt a pet and help out a Milwaukee animal shelter. On Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller and the debut of a new completely legitimate attack ad. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.